Welcome to Interactive Distractions. I'm your host, Jason, and you are listening to a special interview with Shane Bentenhausen of Ignition Entertainment. Now, this interview was originally slated to air with our next episode, but due to our schedule, that would have been next week sometime. We decided to get this out as soon as possible for you guys. So, without further ado, Interactive Distractions proudly presents an hour and a half long interview with Shane Bentenhausen.
And welcome back.
Hey.
Thank you,
Chris. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. Well, today we are talking about King of Fighters 12.
Oh, my God.
You know, we've had lots of fighting game talk this year, and this is the...
A little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit.
We've only lost a few listeners because we talk about so many.
We got our first...
You're not talking about first person shooters. I'm not listening.
Well, we got our first bad iTunes review because we talked about Street Fighter too much, but now we're going to talk about some King of Fighters. And who better to talk about King of Fighters with than Mr. Shane Bentenhausen from Ignition Entertainment. Shane, how you doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, excited. Absolutely. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and the games that you guys are bringing out?
Sure. I think a few of your listeners might remember me. I used to be on a podcast from 1UP called 1UP Yours.
What?
And at the same time, I was on a magazine called Electronic Gaming Monthly.
Oh, yeah.
I did that for about 10 years.
That was a really small publication, right?
Well, you know, I grew up with it, and we saw it till its death. But now there's talk of a beautiful rebirth, a phoenix rising from the flames. So that's exciting if that happens.
That is exciting.
But yeah, when that closed, I kind of decided to move on to the next step, which is called in the world of editorial, they call it the dark side when you move to publisher. publisher side. But you know, I wanted to see what it was like, and I weighed my options. And Ignition, I will say, you know, as a publisher, they were not that on my radar. I knew they'd done a few. Few of the SNK titles, they did Mercury for PSP, but just kind of an up and coming smaller publisher. But when I went and met with those guys and saw what their real MO was, what was going on, the kind of games they wanted to bring to market, and I was like, well, you know, it's a roll of the dice, but I'm going to risk it. I'm going to go to the dark side and try to see if I can bring cooler games to the U.S. and the kind of games I like to play. And you know, I love fighters, I love RPGs, I love classic action adventure games, 2D games, and you know, their philosophy was much in line with that. So
cool,
it was a good fit. And
awesome.
I've been here now almost 6 months, and I've learned a lot already. But I feel like I've just scratched the surface of what's going to happen here in Ignition. I think it's going to be exciting times next year, especially.
Awesome.
They've definitely popped up on our radar. Yeah. And
absolutely.
Aside from King of Fighters, you know, Murasama as well.
Yeah, and Metal Slug, they brought that out recently.
My God.
Lots of good stuff.
And, you know, in terms of SNK, I go back, you know, I had a Neo Geo CD. I grew up playing, you know, Fatal Fury and Samurai Showdown, all these old games. So getting to work closely with those guys at SNK Playmore now has been cool because
it takes me back to
the good old days of bigger, badder, $500 cartridges.
I never owned a Neo Geo, and that's pretty much the reason why.
Oh, man.
But did you know someone who did? Like,
I knew one guy,
and I was really jealous. Yeah.
And he was everyone's best friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I worked at a game store during that time, and one of the guys that worked for me, he actually had one. And the first time I saw one of those cartridges with, like, the two boards coming out of the bottom, what the fuck? But,
it's awesome. $400.
Absolutely. And wouldn't you know, he would sign his check and hand it over to us. And we'd get like the latest and greatest Neo Geo game that was coming out, and he'd want it, and he'd pay for it with his paycheck. It was awesome.
Wow.
We need to spend $60 games. Say this is the 15th anniversary of King of Fighters, so like it's been a lot of looking back and me researching like all the ones I missed, because even though I follow the series, there's just so many of them. And you know, I think a lot of fans after 98, 99, people started kind of going away, because at that point Neo Geo hardware was really outdated, and they were kind of struggling to keep up. And you know, it's kind of what happened with King of Fighters is, you know, all fighting games were waning, and it wasn't until Street Fighter 4 kind of brought it back, and that's what's exciting to see. Street Fighter 4, like, we have regular people talking about fighting games again, because it had become like only the hardest hardcore niche guys still cared about it. And that was sad, because it's such a great genre, and I'm excited, you know, the success of BlazBlue, the success of Street Fighter. I think it's good for the genre as a whole.
Awesome.
Preachers of the choir, brother.
Yeah, you are. We've been really excited about fighting games in general this year, just because of how much good stuff is coming out, and especially to see the reemergence of the 2D fighter, and just to see, like, you know, I mean, Street Fighter 4 was great, and all three of us played the shit out of it. And then, you know, you turn around and you have these like hand-drawn sprite games coming out like King of Fighters and BlazBlue, and we're all over them. We're loving it.
Everything's a tingle.
Yeah.
I agree.
Cool. Well, we're here to talk about King of Fighters with you. So, I figured what we would do is we would start out. We got a lot of questions from our listeners about King of Fighters.
And so we love our listeners.
Yeah, and we like to give to them as much as we can. So we're going to ask you some of those questions, and then we might interject with some stuff here and there and see where the conversation takes us.
Anything is good. I'm
awesome,
ready.
Awesome. Well, we're going to start out with some simple stuff. These are from Eddie Kusanagi. And he has to say, his first question is, will there be another version of Kyo with the flame punch moveset? And he says that because in King of Fighters 99, 2011, it had both versions of Kyo.
Yeah.
Right. When this one, when you play Kyo, you realize he's reverted back to like his KOF 94.
Okay.
Like old school moves. Like his, you know, it's his original moveset. And that was intentional because they really viewed this game at SNK as like a rebirth. And they wanted to take people back to like the basics.
Okay.
But what's funny is some characters like Kyo are like that. But other characters like Iori, they completely have changed those characters in a new way. So it kind of depends on if you're a veteran player, you know, when you first pick your character, you might be surprised at what you get, or you might be like pleasantly like thrown back to, you know, the ancient days of King of Fighters. But in terms of will there be multiple versions of Kyo in this game, I say no, you know, unless SNK has plans down the road that we don't know about for, you know, extra content. You know, the Kyo that I've seen in every facet of this game is classic, old school Kyo. So you're not going to get your updated modern day Kyo in this one. It's more traditional KOF 94 Kyo.
That you've seen so far. So.
That I've seen. But like, I don't think we're going to see like lots and lots of different, you know, paid for different versions of characters you'll be buying down the road. And we've heard nothing about that. Cause that'd be kind of evil. Like, oh, you can buy a Kyo from 10 different games. You know?
Yeah.
I think that'd be cheesy.
Now here's a version from 95 and 98 and 99 and that would get kind of ridiculous after a while. All right, he goes on to ask, will there still be exclusive introductions and winning poses for characters? For example, the rivalry between Kyo and Iori.
There are some. There's a few select ones. You know, I can't say who has them and who doesn't, but there are definitely some. You know, when plot related characters meet, they do have unique interactions, but not everybody, not with everyone. So, I'm not, you know, I haven't played every game extensively enough to know if this has more or less than like 2001, but, there's a few, and, you know, and I think fans of the franchise will know who to expect them from.
Right.
Okay, so cool. we don't have to expect 15-minute drawn out static screens with a bunch of verbal diarrhea like another 2D game that just came out.
What are you talking about, Jeff?
I don't know, Shane, if you played Blaze Blue, if you played the story mode at all.
I was playing some over the weekend, and but I like the menus. They remind me of Evangelion, and I like the characters. And, I find it to be kind of a delightful change of pace. But you know, it's weird. That one's weird because, you know, because it's a new IP. It's vaguely like Guilty Gear, but I'm so used to playing these fighting games where I know every character. It's like I look at this roster, I'm like, I don't know which crazy thing I want to be on this roster
from, you know, all sorts of different anime genres.
Right.
You know. Everything's covered in there, really.
And I think, you know, it's one of the complaints. Some people are like, oh, you know, why aren't there more new characters in King of Fighters 12?
No,
that's not the idea of the series. This specific one is like pairing down to like who, you know, who they think are the most representative traditional King of Fighters characters and reworking them. So
that makes sense. Right. I mean, Street Fighter 4 went back to the roots and brought back everyone from Street Fighter 2, and look how it did, right? So like familiarity. So
that's right.
If you look back at Street Fighter 3, it's almost like a cautionary tale because if you take away too much, and there's almost nothing left that's you know recognizable and familiar. It's like people are like, well, is this the game for me? And then I think they wanted to avoid that with King of Fighters 12. They wanted, you know, fans who might have gone away from the series to be like, oh yeah, I know these guys, I know this game, even though the actual gameplay graphics have changed.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I like that.
Cool. All right. Let's see, what else does he say? How many winning poses will each character have?
This is important, Shane. This is very important.
That's pretty technical. Not a ton.
Give some time.
Like,
we can take a break if you need to research.
I don't think I can even research that quickly unless I boot it up. I mean, it's definitely not like six. You know, like I always remember how awesome it was in like Street Fighter Alpha 2, where you could select and there's six different winning poses. I'm a nerd and I like that. And something not that many here. I would say two, but I could be wrong. There could be more. It could be different for each character. I'm usually playing as Ash Crimson. I've definitely seen at least two.
Okay. Ash is badass. I like Ash.
Ash
is badass. He's the best character in the game.
Yeah.
Oh, you think so?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
At least most improved.
Most improved.
Most improved.
Okay.
Like best is Joe Higashi.
I fucking love Joe. Hard to beat. Oh, I love Joe.
Joe's dangerous.
I can't get away from Kim, man. I love playing Kim.
All right.
So he goes on to ask, will there be alternate costumes?
There are alternate colors.
Okay.
But in terms of on the disc, are there alternate costumes? No. Okay. Might there be alternate costumes in the DLC? I don't know.
Yeah, I like how you said it's not on the disc.
It's not on the disc.
Every question about downloadable content, it's going to be kind of a big question mark because you know it's coming out of SNK in Japan. They don't have to tell us everything that's in the works. So anyway, there could be more things down the road that we don't know about.
Okay, cool. See that. All right. Yeah. So as far as selectable colors, how many are there?
There are, I'm going to say, I know there are two. I think some characters have three.
Okay.
And do we have to open them?
No. You don't unlock them. And some of them are kind of time trials. Yeah.
Cool.
You don't have to unlock a second color for your character.
No survival mode, none of that shit. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We're good. Good.
All right. So we're actually going to step back to what you were saying before. From your personal experience, who do you think are the top five most powerful characters in the game?
All right, I will say Joe stands out immediately. Like he's
motherfucking Joe,
deadly.
Yes,
Joe's insane. Also, Andy's really good. I'm not a big Andy fan, but sometimes I'm forced to play him just because he's so good.
Yeah, same.
And of course, you know, Kyo and Terry. Well, you know, they're kind of obvious choices, but
right.
You know, because everybody has like endemic skills with those guys, you can just pick them up and you know what to do. There's very little relearning there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those four guys are like. You know, whenever I'm playing with somebody who isn't like a hardcore Chaos guy, I recommend those because they're easy to pick up. They're powerful. They have a lot of supers. For number five, I have to give it to Athena. Athena is in the right hand.
Yeah.
Devastating.
She's got some crazy moves, man. I've been watching videos of her and she's one of the characters I want to try out. Cause I used her a little bit in like some of the previous ones, but it just, I don't know. It's like I've been watching some of the more recent videos of 12 and it just looks like her moveset is just awesome. So
yeah, she's very defensive and, you know, her moves, they're just tweaked and balanced in a certain way where you can dominate with her easily. And she's kind of, you know, depending on your mileage with cute anime heroines, like some people, she's too much and kind of, you know, just her constant high pitched squeals get on her nerves and it kind of helps. But and there aren't that many ladies in this game compared to some of the previous KOF, so I think she kind of sticks out. So for her versus Leona, they're both good, but I think Athena's easier to play.
What are you talking about? That Ash chick is like totally hot.
That, you know, funny true story. When I did first come here, we were having a meeting about King of Fighters 12, and I said, you know everyone that's a guy, and not everyone knew.
Oh wow!
You know, he's mysterious.
That's hilarious.
Shane, I guarantee you there's like at least like 20 or 30 listeners out there looking at Ash like,
hey,
really? He's not a girl?
Those freckles are so cute.
No, we had somebody on our forum actually say, yeah, I might try Ash out. You know, she's kind of cute.
Did you know? Yeah, oh, I missed that.
Well, Ash is challenging social mores around the world. He's from France.
Yeah. Oh, there. That explains it.
Yeah, there we go. Jeff knows all about that.
But he's a charge character. He plays like you know, Guile. So like, if you have Guile skills, those all carry over to Ash. And what I like about him, he has these little fireballs that he leaves behind. And you can kind of defensively leave this little minefield of fireballs and totally screw with people. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Cool.
He's a bit like
In terms of characters and balance, kind of a little bit of a sidestep here, but reading on some forums here and there, some people think that the critical counters could be a little bit unbalanced. Is that something that you guys looked at or that you guys considered yourself?
Jeff is jumping right into it. Wow. All right.
Yeah. When I first saw them, you know, having not played the game, I'm like, wow, that looks a lot like a custom combo, original combo from Street Fighter Alpha 2. And as we all know, those were unbalanced, you know, and like they're really easy to just, you know, rely on those, spam them out, not a lot of skill involved because you could just instigate them whenever you wanted with a simple button press.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the way critical counters are because you have to build up a meter first. And then when that meter is built up, when you're, you know, close to a character, if you do the standing, you know, standing fierce or standing roundhouse at the right time,
at the right
time it correctly. And if the other person doesn't counter you, then you can do this critical counter. So it's not like you have to learn a complex maneuver or just press a simple button, but you have to execute a specific move at a specific time. So there's a lot. I think there's a lot more skill involved. It's not just some easy, totally cheesy maneuver that anybody can pump out whenever they want, and that there's no recovery from.
That's what I'm worried about, though. I mean, is it going to turn into like a mash fest? You know, as soon as you get that meter built up, are you going to start spamming? You know, your fierce punch, fierce kick. You know, C&D or whatever.
Some people do. I mean, some people do try to do that, and you see it happening. But, like, you know, you can, if you know that your opponent is doing that, you can take advantage of them and try you have a lot of moves at your disposal. And throws, the throws have changed now. You have to use two buttons to use a throw, so it's riskier. And that's, if someone's trying to get you with a critical counter, usually you can throw them. That's what I try to do.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, would you contribute to maybe Street Fighter 3's kind of parry system where it's simple in theory, but pretty hard in execution?
Yeah, I think it's related. But also, in this game, King Fighters 12, there's reversals. Mm-hmm. There's no penalty for reversals. So you can reverse at any time. And if you reverse a fireball, it's a parry. It doesn't bounce it back, but it just stops it. So, like that addition, too, like giving everybody completely unlimited reversals at any time. You know, it levels the playing field a lot more. And I think that mix of critical counters and like the SOSAI, which are these deadlocks, if two people hit each other with the same power move at the same time, it'll just like neutrally cancels out.
Yeah.
So when you kind of mix all those things together, it fundamentally really alters the flow of King of Fighters gameplay if you go back and play 11 or 2002 or something. It feels very different. Mm-hmm. And I think it's actually more balanced. So whenever people are all crying, oh, it's totally janky, it's totally, you know, for scrubs, like they probably haven't played it or they've just watched the video where you'll show those crazy like 30, 48 combos in the video in the trailer.
Yeah, but you have like to. You have to really know what you're doing to do those, though. I mean,
well, true, and it's skill based at that point, and you know, I mean, because you know, with like Street Fighter 4, you know, you're doing one motion,
right,
and you're getting that big damage, you know.
Whereas the revenge meter in that totally unbalanced Street Fighter 4, and you know, I'm not sure how you feel about that, but
I'd say it's
kind of similar to this, and that, yeah, you know, everyone has that at their disposal, and you have that meter building up, and it's definitely when someone busts one out and it hits, it's going to affect the outcome of the match.
All right. But so a little more of a technical question. How's the damage scaling when that actually comes out?
You know, they do. It's a high damage game. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, you can go in and change that in the options, but the default is high damage. But still, unless people are doing a lot of critical counters and super specials, the matches will last, you know, a few rounds, and the 3-on-3, you know, just the setup of the game makes the matches, you know, pretty meaty. But say if you do a critical counter into a super special, then the round's probably over. Especially if you're fighting someone huge like Raiden or, you know, something like that.
Right. Oh, gotcha. Yeah. So how many times during a round do you think a critical counter? How often did your meter build?
You know, throughout one round, you'll usually only get one. Unless you're playing, you know, really, really defensively, and you know. But yeah, I'd say most rounds, you're lucky if somebody does get a critical counter off, because you know it isn't easy to do it on your own, because your opponent has to be in the right position, and you can't just make it happen, you know. Oh, it's coming! Oh, the planets have to align.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, cool.
All right. His last question is, this is still Eddie Kusanagi. He says, I noticed in YouTube there is an unblockable charging move similar to the focus attacks in Street Fighter 4. Can you please explain this new element in detail?
Yeah, actually, every character does have that. And I think, you know, it's similar-ish to, what is that called in Street Fighter 4? It's called focus attack?
Focus attack, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit like that, but it's not as crucial and like, kind of round changing. It's something you remember that you have, and it's definitely effective. But yeah, most of the players I've seen don't use it a lot. Maybe that's something that will change if people realize, hey, this is something I can use more strategically. That's a move that personally I kind of keep forgetting about. So I need to start implementing it more into my play.
That's funny. You know, it's like, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I think maybe for slower characters it's more important, but I'm usually playing these fast guys. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, when Street Fighter 4 first came out, not too many people were using those at all, and we've been playing that for a while now. I guess since it came out, we're actually, we have a league, and we're actually just in playoffs now, and people are just kind of starting to use them within maybe a month ago, and it becomes pretty integral to the way people play, I've noticed, last couple months. But at the beginning, no one had any idea how to use them or when to use them, and everyone kind of forgets about them.
Yeah, I think that it could end up being similar here, like to watch what high-level players do and how they can use those. And I think all these new, basically all those new moves you talked about, they really changed King of Fighters 12 gameplay. And And I can't get over that enough, because someone who's played King of Fighters for years and years, like, yeah, it's familiar, but the fundamental flow of gameplay is different, and it's more defensive, and it also, it feels a bit more like Street Fighter, like a bit like Street Fighter 3 in a lot of ways. And for me, that's good. Like, I love Street Fighter 3, and, like, okay, you know, pushing it just a little bit towards that, for me, I couldn't be happier.
Right.
That's perfect. Another question I have actually is, like, for just telling from the videos, you can tell that, like, SK did tweak the gameplay a bit from previous King of Fighters. It looks to, like, it flows a little bit more like a Street Fighter game. Now, was this done for, like, a conscious decision to make it more accessible, maybe people who are familiar with Street Fighter and not too many other fighters? Or is this something that they looked at and said, hey, this will actually improve the game on an entirely, like, on all levels?
I think both are actually true. Like, whether or not they went first rate of, like, we want to make this more like Street Fighter. But I think the things they wanted to do to change the gameplay, and, you know, that were the same things that Street Fighter 3 did in particular. And, yeah, they acknowledged this. When I went and visited SNK, I was like, yeah, this is definitely more accessible. I think, you know, people who haven't played all these old, you know, the Art of Fighting and Fatal Fury games, like, they'll be able to pick this up and learn it and, like, learn the new systems and have it make sense. And if anybody, and, you know, who hasn't played a Street Fighter game? If you're a fighting game guy, you've probably played a Street Fighter game.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt.
And SNK and Capcom have been borrowing from each other from, like, time immemorial. You know, like, look at Dan, look at everybody. And, I feel it, you know, and I'm not ashamed to say that it feels a bit more like Street Fighter. And I think, you know, unless you're someone who hates Street Fighter, then it won't be a problem for you.
There's nothing wrong with that. And some of the fundamental stuff, though, in previous King of Fighters games has been, like, the jump system. Is that still intact? You know, there's still short hops and everything.
Yeah, there are five different jumps.
Five different
jumps. Yeah, like, I had, I was trying to master all five myself. I can do, like, the little short hop. I can do the high jump. But that's all still here. So,
good.
And that's one of the things I love about how evasive it is. Like, everybody having a role. Yeah. Like, everybody being able to run, everybody able to backdash, everybody being able to roll is such a big thing. That's another thing you forget you have. You forget, oh, yeah, I can roll.
Yeah.
And if you remember, if you start to remember that you can evade, that totally changes your game. And you can get out of so many hits that would have, you know, totally killed you otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good, because, I mean, that you need something like that, because, like you said, like, they want to make it more accessible. But at the same time, you want something in there to separate the average players to the great players, the players that can, like, master these evasions and so forth, will obviously perform better than the ones that, you know, we're just playing the game to have fun, so to speak. So you need some kind of distance between the two. And I like, that's what I like about fighting games these days, especially with, like, BlazBlue and, I guess now King of Fighters and Street Fighter all have something like that in common, which I think is a good step to make games, like, easy, accessible, and also good and deep enough for the hardcore fighters to.
Right. Yeah. You want to leave, like, high level play, you know, in there to where there, if you do master, if you have time to spend, like, hundreds of hours playing this game, you can wipe the floor with someone else, because you'll be doing things they never would have done. And you'll look at it differently. You know, you'll see opportunities that someone who doesn't even know how to roll will never know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everybody's going to, I think, kind of come into this game playing it like it's Street Fighter or something like that. But then you're going to find that whole other level with, you know, jumps and evades and rolls and everything like that, that's going to step up everybody's games. Kind of like focus attacks, you know, in Street Fighter 4. So, good show.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of people that are like, going to pick them up later down the line. Like, they're going to play it for a month or two, and they're going to say, oh, I can actually add this into my arsenal.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. So,
that's what I call gameplay.
That's right.
Love it.
All right, cool. Let's move on to our next listener. This is from The Marquee, and he says, why no special edition for King of Fighters 12?
Oh. You know, we really wanted to, and when I first got here, one of the first things we wanted to do was to get a bundle with, like, a really high quality joystick, you know, similar to what Street Fighter 4 had.
Different than the Mayflash one that was recently announced over in Japan, correct?
Yeah, because, well, there are two official King of Fighters joysticks and an official King of Fighters gamepad in Japan.
Okay.
But none of them were, like, the quality that we wanted. We wanted something like the, you know, the crazy Mad Cat Street Fighter 4 stick that came out here. That
was, absolutely.
It'll be the tournament champion, I don't forget what it's called.
The amazing joystick.
And that stick, that stick was so great and so successful that it actually created a shortage in parts.
Believe me, I know.
Several different manufacturers, they're like, yeah, there aren't enough parts to manufacture sticks like,
my God.
Sticks like that this summer. Like, the earliest they'd be able to get, like,
the
special buttons from China would be, like, fall. So we're like, oh, yeah, and unless we can have it, you know, day and date with the launch of the game, I guess we just have to say no. And then, you know, when I finally saw the Japanese sticks and pads, they're all right, but I wanted to, if we did a special edition, for it to be, like, the best joystick in the world. So yeah, we decided not for this one. But we definitely know that, yeah, the fans are hardcore, and when and if there's a next King of Fighters or biggest SNK fighting game, we're definitely looking to do a special edition for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, cool. So speaking of other SNK games, do they have any inside scoops on SNK giving other fighting franchises like Fatal Fury or Samurai Showdown the same updated sprite treatment?
That's a good question. And I was just hanging out with some of the guys from SNK last week, and I told them straight up that, you know, I think this template, the way they did King of Fighters would work mm-hmm. really well for some of these other franchises like Sancho yes. or Garo, you know, and yeah. Garo just came out for Xbox Live Arcade, and it's funny because they always thought that game wasn't very well liked in the U.S.
No.
I think it's because it came out for Dreamcast, it came out kind of late, yeah. It never really had a chance.
Really late.
And at that point, fighting games were already kind of
version was broken all to hell.
Yeah, so when they were like, oh, really? People like the game? Like, yeah, people love that. The hardcore people love that game. And I think that vision of Fatal Fury never really got fully explored. So that's one personally that I would love to see. I mean, I'm not announcing that. I can't say that for sure, but I definitely...
You heard it here, people. Yeah.
Whenever I talk to those guys, I always make
Shane
a big
wants
point
it. Shane's getting it.
Telling them what the U.S. fighting game guys like. Because, you know, they're in Japan. They're a little out of the loop on what the U.S. fighters are into. So
yeah, okay.
What do you guys think? What are you desperately crying out for, like a Aggressors of Dark Combat 2 or what is it you want?
Oh, you're speaking my heart right there. No. Not that game.
That's unfortunate.
Cold and black and broken and ugly heart.
Killer Instinct. That's what he's
with. Shut up, I do.
Actually, I love me some Last Blade. To be honest with you,
that would.
I would That's love true. To see some more Last Blade.
Last Blade 2 was awesome.
Oh, yeah. I loved that game. I think I own it like 3 times or something. I own it for like Dreamcast and something. I think I have a PS2. Did it come out for PS2?
No. I think it's Japan.
Okay, I don't have the Japanese version, so I must not have it. So anyway,
but that's the hip thing.
Oh, I have
right?
it. No, so for Neo Geo Pocket, I have the Dreamcast version, and I have the Neo Geo Pocket Color version.
That reminds me of Gal Spider on Neo Geo Pocket. I was like, you guys should make a new Gal Spider, and they'll laugh for like 10 minutes.
No, really, it'll sell.
That's where you can put all the girls that people are asking for. Put them in Gal Spider.
That's where mine went.
Put Ash Crimson in Gal Spider.
There you go.
It'd still be hot. What?
But
freckles, man.
I think on a larger scale, you know, this has been a big... King of Fighters 12 has been a 4-year undertaking for them because, you know, mm-hmm. it was their first game on this new hardware on the Taito Type X2, and mm-hmm. it was the first time they tried to do, you know, high-res sprites, and the amount of time of art, the artwork alone, the amount of time that went in the animation was pretty insane. So, like, now they know what they're up against, and they know they can't make annual, mm-hmm. you know, you can't make one of these a year.
No way.
The way it used to go, because it's just, you know, 60 frames of animation at this resolution is kind of crazy. And I think they kind of wish they'd gone to 3D, but they realize that, you know, it has to be 2D, and something just takes time.
There's a lot of support out there for the sprite based 2D fighter. I mean, there's a lot of people that are never going to get away from it. That's what they want.
I thought Street Fighter 4 looked gorgeous, and then once
and then
I
you played Blaze Blue.
Blue, I was like, oh my god, this is. I think every fighter should be like this. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I still think Street Fighter is a great game, but like visually, I don't think it compares to Blaze Blue at all. And, well, I haven't seen King of Fighters yet running in, like, motion on my TV. But, again, that's still more appealing to my eye, for sure, because it's just...
Right. And as a, you know, as an impartial observer, if I wasn't trying to sell King of Fighters 12, and, you know, I was the guy who used to review everything, mm-hmm. I think Blaze was a great game, but I do, you know, I think if you see the animation side by side, a character animation... Yeah. You know, there's obviously more frames of animation in King of Fighters 12.
When
you see that kind of 2D animation, it's almost weird because we're not used to seeing it anymore. We're so used to 3D. Yeah. When you see a very fluid hand-drawn 2D animation, it looks like it's almost surreal and awesome. And I wonder what kids who aren't used to 2D will think of it, if they'll think that's awesome or not. I don't know.
that's funny you say that because... I was talking actually a few shows back. I was saying that we're talking about King of Fighters and how I was watching videos, and to me, I was like, are you sure this is 2D? Because it looks too fluid. And I actually asked Jason, I'm like, is it actually fully 2D, or is it
they'll talk openly about this. When they first started making the game for animation references, they made 3D character models. They made like 3D wireframes.
Okay.
And use those as a reference. But they did hand draw the sprite art, but they had a reference.
Right.
Okay. They showed me what that's like, but it's not like the characters are actually 3D on screen anymore. But
so it's still frame by frame, but just they had the wire to...
It is frame by frame. It'd be like, it's not like it's a polygonal model in the game, but they did use polygonal references.
Right. It's kind of like rotoscoping in a way.
A bit.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good transition. No,
speaking of the characters and like the art design and everything, I'm kind of going off on a tangent, but no, I've really love the the art direction and the character design of King of Fighters games. And if you are going to compare Blaze Blue to King of Fighters, you're going to see that, there's definitely more frames of animation. In addition to that, all the characters are like shaded.
And that's kind of crazy, like the self-shadowing stuff.
Yeah,
that's what really got me, because like at first you're used to seeing that in 3D games, because it's like an effect you turn on, but in a 2D game that's all hand-drawn. So
that's gorgeous.
It's kind of crazy, and like, especially the clothing, like if you're in like Kim's pants or something, like all these folds in the pants are creating shadows, and that all has to be done by hand. It's all fake, it's all
shading
fake.
Of pants gets me excited.
Careful shading of pants, and there's also like light, what they're called pseudo lighting effects in the game, where like they have like light sources on these 3D characters, and that's, again, it's fake, like it doesn't really exist, so they have to like
hand draw
all of that too.
But it's amazing.
Yeah, it still looks beautiful. I mean, that's the thing. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. I think the shadowing is secretly what makes the game look as good as it. Like, pay attention to the shadows, and that's kind of the subtle stuff going on.
High five, brother.
All right, cool. So we're gonna get into Marquis' next question, and this is go ahead, Jeff.
Sorry, this is my transition news guy coming into effect here. Thank you. That'd be a perfect segue into a question a little bit lower down about the art specifically.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Go ahead, Jeff.
The floor is yours.
Basically, I can't. Well, I don't have the list in front of me, but somebody was asking. I don't know. The listener's asking. They read somewhere that the art was actually drawn by one person, and is that
okay? I can give you that question since I have it in front of me.
Yeah, there's a little controversy about who did the art for this game, actually.
Okay, the question is: I heard that a single artist did the sprite art for the game. Was SNK ever nervous that there was too much for one guy to handle?
Okay, so
where's that from?
That's from Arkham.
So he's not quite right. The overall art design for the entire game, like the guiding principle, was by a guy named Nona, who's like a well-known SNK like guy, mysterious, known as Nona. But the actual character portraits and character designs were done by a guy named Ogura, Mr. Ogura, and he's totally awesome. So like when you see like a drawing, like a promotional drawing of any of these characters, he drew that. But the actual in-game sprite art, they have like a small army, I would say like maybe at least 10, 12, maybe even more people. And I was at SNK's headquarters and watched them like literally drawing sprites. Like, like with tablets on pens. And actually half that team was female, and apparently that's pretty normal for a lot of the sprite art to be done by girls. I'm like, oh, that's cool. But yeah, definitely it wasn't one guy painstakingly making every single sprite in this game, because it would have taken him, like years and years and years more than I did.
He'd have like three characters done by now, and he'd be still working on it.
Right. In fact, with the number they keep telling us, in terms of full man hours, each character was like 16 months of work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Cool.
Shit.
All right. Well, let's stick with the art then. Were there any major hangups that you can talk about regarding the art?
Major hangups. Not really that I see. I mean, there could have been some problems earlier on in development that I was not privy to, and because obviously it took a lot longer than they expected, so that might have happened. But yeah, since I came on board, I saw no major art snafus other than when we first tried to submit the box art, the ESRB didn't want to give us Athene because they thought Athena's skirt was too short.
we're like,
straight up, you can't see
any panties.
There's like, 100% serious.
Oh my God.
Okay.
But no. You cannot see your panties. If Kotaku ran a story about how even in a game, no matter how hard you try, you can never see your panties.
Leave it to Kotaku to try.
Yeah, I know, right? Leave it to Kotaku to try that.
All day long.
You're tilting your TV, it's still the same angle.
No matter how you move your head, it's always going to look like that. It's never going to show it off.
Yeah, that's the only issue I ran into with the art.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to move on to some online questions. The first question that came through was, will the online gameplay show us a ping time, or is it going to do the whole cell phone bars thing?
It shows you, I believe it has the cell phone bar icon.
Oh, does it?
From 1 to 5 bars, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm going to take a sidebar and just say, Marquee, it's the way everyone fucking understands it. Quit your bitching.
Yeah, I think you know, I know what a ping is. A lot of hardcore PC guys, but yeah, might not know what a ping number means.
Yeah, most people are going to you know, relate more to this whole cell phone bar thing, but yeah, it was a question that was asked, so I wanted to ask it.
Yeah.
The other question he has is, did Ignition work closely with SNK to design the online implementation? And he says, seeing how Street Fighter 4 landed such a janky online implementation, it seems SNK received some input with the online interface from Western gamers.
You know, I would like to be able to say that from the ground up, we helped to develop the online services with them, but that is not the case. They, you know, they had already started developing this game years ago, and, luckily, I think a lot of what they're doing is forward thinking, having 8-player lobbies, having the clan, having, you know, the first clan system ever in a fighting game.
Which is awesome, by the way.
Yeah, but it's only on the PS3 version, unfortunately, at the time, but still, it's awesome that it exists at all. And, you know, you can upload replays, which other people have been doing too. But I still think, I will say this, like, online implementation King of Fighters, you know, it has a ways to go to be like, if it's going to be the best in the world, if this is going to be like, you know, blows everyone out of the water in terms of functionality and menus and stuff, you know, I think all Japanese developers are a little behind the times in terms of what Western developers are doing, say, for shooters. And, you know, do I wish that this had, like, you know, the same awesome stuff you might get out of Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2? Yeah, but does it? No. Will it? You know, but assuming that, you know, moving forward from here, we'll be working with SNK on more fighting games, I would like personally to work very closely with them to make sure that they are like pushing the boundaries of what anybody expects from online fighting games. But for King of Fighters 12, I think, you know, it's baby steps, and there are elements of this that are better than what you've seen in other games. And other elements will be very similar to what you've seen in other games.
That's kind of depressing, Shane.
it's realistic. I mean, I could sell you like pie in the sky, like, oh, it's gonna come to your house and like mine's gonna wake you up and
you
chat in your ear. But no, it's, you know, it's functional, and I think like the lobby system is really good. But you know, it's not like a revolution in online gaming that no one's ever experienced before.
Right. I mean, obviously, you guys didn't have like you know say as far as you know how things went with the net code and everything. But I mean, were there any talks with like you know GGPO or anything like that?
You know, it's funny because I was just talking to SNK about that very thing the other day. You know, this game does not use GGPO, and I really like GGPO, so I think moving forward, I think we would like to use that in future games, no problem. But that's my personal preference.
Make it happen, Shane.
Yeah,
you're in there now. Okay,
and you fight know, for and us. I think Western software such as GGPO, it's hard to convince Japanese development houses to look to the West for anything.
Right.
But I think for fighting games, I think that's where it has to go. It's a real collaboration. So, yeah.
So does BlazBlue use the? Does it use that?
BlazBlue is the first Japanese fighting game to use GGPO. So.
First Japanese fighting game. Yeah. Like HD Remix had like a hybrid version of it.
Kind
or
of
whatever.
Version of it.
It was like a beta or something, right?
It's weird. He like Tom. I think it was Tom Cannon.
The Cannon brothers like invented GGPO.
Yeah, the Cannon brothers.
So they know fighting.
Geniuses. They
know
totally
fighting,
do.
And it's good that they're giving back to the genre. So. Yeah, and the real sad thing is because you know we're about to get retail copies of King of Fighters, so we. Everything we've been playing has been on these closed networks on PartnerNet for Xbox and for PS3. So, like the real, like when the real, you know, when the internet opens up, hopefully it's going to be better than we expect.
Oh,
you know,
God.
But we'll see. and if there are any problems, you know, we can address things through you know service patches. And unfortunately, it's kind of the nature of the beast. But we'll be watching and listening to what the people have to say, and hopefully trying to address anything that does arise.
Okay.
This generation of the patch, right?
Yeah, it is.
When even my Nintendo console started patching games, I knew that it was over. I was like, all right. It used to be, like, you know, when I was a kid, like, PC games, yeah, you knew when you bought this thing, it was going to be in an hour of struggling to get it to work.
If you
bought a game for a console, you go home, you play it. Not anymore.
And
nowadays, everything gets fixed in post, and it's just the world we live in.
Yeah.
And with fighting games, I don't really mind that at all. Because
as long as they're fixing it,
it's improving. So
and balancing issues as well. Which
have you seen that
transition setup for Chris?
Oh, oh, was it?
yeah, it was.
Way to go, Jeff. Thank
I don't.
You.
I must not have it in the right order then for you, Jeff.
I don't know
Sorry.
What we'd do without you.
Yes, I do. Here we go. I'll give Jeff what he wants. Here we go. This is from Die Hard Gamer, and he says several recent SNK fighters have been imbalanced, quote unquote, to put it nicely. This becomes painfully clear when you play online and see nothing but fill in the blank. It seems that with the advent of online play, SNK should patch the games to further balance them out post-release. Yet to my knowledge, they have never done so. Will SNK continue to balance characters post KOF 12's release with online updates?
I don't have an official answer on that, but I would like to say yes. If it happens to where there is a character that is grossly overpowered.
Sagitt.
I mean, because I know there are plans for downloadable stuff in the future, and I would like to think that we could convince them to do that. I don't have an official answer, but you know, from what I've heard in the field from the arcade, is that some people felt that Clark was overpowered.
Right.
One of the Akari Warriors, Clark. I personally don't see it, but if it really does play out that, like, you know, if you look online and all the top five people are all Clark players, and it's like a real problem, then I would have no qualms like telling us, okay, hey, we need to address this, we need to tweak these things, because it's a benefit of download is like, you know, things get fixed. And
right,
you know, how many fighting games can you look in the past and everyone knows, like, oh yeah, like, you know, Dalsim is fire, Travis is fire too. If you could have fixed that, then it doesn't exist anymore, you know, it'd been better. So
yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tentative yes, if required.
Sounds good. All right, so you kind of mentioned the clan system earlier. What was the reasoning behind having the different online features between the two console versions?
You know, I don't have a real SNK answer for why they decided to give the clan feature exclusively to Sony for PlayStation 3. I can imagine that because it's a much bigger platform in Japan, that's reason one.
Okay.
That they would give them that as an incentive, you know. Also, a higher percentage of PS3 owners buy fighting games than Xbox 360 owners. I think it's a continuation of, like, these were PlayStation 1 gamers, PlayStation 2 gamers who had a lot of fighting games, whereas Xbox 1 was more about shooting and racing. You know, that's like a generalization, but
right.
I think it's something they might have looked at too in terms of if we're going to give an exclusive mode to one platform. And the online things that are exclusive to 360 are like Microsoft things, like True Skill Ranking. I mean, that's like, you know, that's only on 360, so it makes sense to put that on on the Xbox 360 version.
All right, so we got to drill down on these modes at some point. And you know, the True Skill just sounds like a ranking system, correct?
It is, and it's a True Skill is across like multiple lots of games on Xbox 360. It's like a way of grading your how good you are at a game based on like this big set of factors that is universal.
Give me that big set of factors.
I wish I knew. It's like some crazy equation that
because you all understand every ranking system.
I can only begin to fathom what the true skill equation is truly.
Yeah. Right. Ranking. I mean, is it based on number of games? You know, your win percentage.
It's based on like actual game.
Hypothesis skill.
Gameplay, like skill. You know, true skill, not like true. How many times can you turn on your Xbox? I think from game to game, it's like grading various things. I wish I had a better answer.
I do.
So is it a lot of work going into that whole system on the PS3, the exclusive clan system? Because that's something that I think even on 360 or any platform would be something that people would jump all over. Because when I first heard this, I thought that was really awesome.
This is really cool.
It's a good fit for King of Fighters too, because you already have like three characters fighting three other characters.
Right.
So, you know, it makes sense. Like, you and two buddies, you're like, you know, I'm always going to be this guy, you're always going to be this guy, and we're going to fight other gangs, you know, other gangs online. And, you know, you can start your own clan, you can send out, like, a newsletter update, you can kick people out of your clan if you don't like them anymore. I think it's the beginning of something really great that we're going to see a lot of other fighting games doing.
Yeah.
You know, does the clan system go as far as I wanted it to? Not really, because initially they were talking about having, like, customizable emblems and customizable outfits and stuff, and some of that had to get, you know, those features got cut. But, you know, they're moving forward, hopefully the clan system will catch on and they can really dive deep on it for future releases, and because I think that's where it's going, you know, having online clans really competing and feeling like a community, because fighting games are a sense of community. And I think, you know, now that arcades are all but extinct in America, the concept of, you know, meeting at the arcade, meeting your friends, fighting these other guys, quartering up, that's kind of gone. And it's sad because like a 12-year-old now doesn't even know what that world is like, you know? Because I can remember in 1993 going to the arcade and, you know, all you cared about was fighting games.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, explain a little bit more about the, you know, what's the flow, you know, of the clan system? You know, obviously you get two buddies together, right?
Right.
So you each play one character. Are you allowed to play the same character or?
Actually, you can't. No, it has to be three different characters.
Good.
You know, you can't bring three Kyos into any fight in King of Fighters. It's very, you know, there are rules. You know, you can build your team out of whoever you want, and then, like, it's a separate, you know, you fight other clans that are established, and, you know, the clans have their names, clan has a leader,
right.
A separate clan leaderboard that you can just watch, you know, what clan is the number one clan in the world.
So there's kind of like a ranking system as far as, like, these clans are concerned, correct?
Right, yeah.
Okay,
so
good.
There's a separate clan leaderboard.
Good.
I think that's kind of the big deal, you know,
because,
you know, if you're a person, you know, I think it's going to be much harder initially to get ranked globally because there's such high quality players, especially like in Asia, Latin America, South America. I think the competition is going to be really fierce. Whereas, you know, the clan system, I think, gives you a better fighting chance. You can find two other friends and, you know, can help come teach you how to play.
So this is worldwide as opposed to just, you know, just regional, correct?
Right. It's
okay.
Worldwide.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. Because King of Fighters has huge appeal in, like, you know, South America, Mexico, and such. Whereas it's not as loved here.
Yeah, that was kind of, you know, I'd always heard that it was huge, you know, in other parts of the world.
Uh-huh.
And when we had the tournament, that definitely, you know, came to be true. Like, most of our competitors were from Asia, Latin America, South America.
Yeah.
And they quickly learned the game, and it's so different too. You know, most of them had never even had a chance to play it before, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, and the response we're getting from you know, just magazines, like every Mexican game magazine is like dying for this game.
Yeah.
Like, oh wow, King of Fighters, sure. King of Fighters really does have a huge worldwide appeal, and that's awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah. So set the stage. So it's you and two buddies. You know, you actually get into a room. What's the requirement? It's six people. I mean, obviously.
So to do a clan match?
Yeah, to do like a clan match.
If you start the game yourself, you uh-huh. can create a clan. You create your clan, you create the name, invite your friends. You have to have at least three people in your clan, and they all have to be online or ready to go
right.
to fight in a ranked clan match.
So it's a registered clan. It's not like a pickup group type thing.
Right.
You can't
it's like an established clan. Because you can't just like find me a new clan. No, like you can't just randomly join some other guy's clan and ruin his life. You know, it's supposed to be like your real friends. And you can send them updates and the game will find you other clans, or if you have a rival clan who's on your friends list, you know,
right.
you can start a match against him. But I think it's more just going to be like, you know, fighting the other clans out there, seeing who else is on the leaderboard, trying to take down the guys above you. And yeah, we're hoping the community just gets behind it a lot because I think it is in the future. But sadly, because we haven't had a chance to play the retail game yet, I've only even demoed clan play once because it wasn't easy to get, you know, three PS3 debugs, three copies of the game.
Oh, I'm sure.
Play against other people like half a world away. So
that makes sense.
I'm actually eager to get to play clan play finally for real.
Yeah, oh, dude, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, the clan system is actually one of the main reasons that we're getting the PS3 version. I'm pretty stoked about that. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's. I hope every other game actually rips it off because it's what I want. It's what I want out of fighting games. I want to be able to, like,
it's, you know, pretty badass.
Yeah, it's badass.
Meet up with my buddies and kick total ass.
It's so perfect for this. Yeah.
Yeah. It really is.
Oh, I love it. All right.
All right, so Shane, let's get this inevitable question out of the way answer it now, because I know you know what's coming. I'm sure you get it on every friggin' interview you do.
Yeah.
What happened to Mai?
Well, you know, Mai was not an original, you know, Gen 1 SNK fighting game character. She was not in. She wasn't even in Fatal Fury 1. And one of the, you know, philosophies behind King of Fighters 12 was for it to be a return to Fatal Fury versus Art of Fighting. Like, back to the roots. The very basic roots of those games.
Okay.
And that did not include my Shiranu from Fatal Fury 2, much to the chagrin of every single person I've ever met. Like, it is the first question. It is the first question is, where is Mai?
Oh, sure.
And, you know, if you think about why do people like Mai?
Well,
because
she's got big bouncing boobs.
Right. Everybody
really loves
boobs.
And
if you look at it,
I don't
that
even
way,
like her moveset, really. I don't. But those tits are
she throws the fan, man. She throws
she
the fan.
She has the fiery fan. She's a nice outfit. But yeah, it's really just
thing.
The way she looks. You know, it comes down to that. And I think, you know, it might have been the fact that other characters such as Leona, Athena got chosen in front of her. But Leona has a lot of fans, and so does Athena. So those fans are happy.
I like both of them.
I've often heard that Athena is actually more popular in Japan.
Yeah, especially
than
in Japan. I've heard that Athena is more popular.
So then when we heard that the console version was going to get two exclusive characters that weren't in the arcade version, we thought, okay, maybe this will be Mai. And obviously we needed some more girls because the game was very, like, a sausage fest. There weren't very many girls. It's a lot like, a lot like Street Fighter 4, if you think about it.
No doubt.
But then they went a totally left field choice and picked Elizabeth and Mature. What? And, you know, I think fans were really happy to see Mature back because that's, she's dead, A, to begin with. You know, that's, you didn't expect her to come back. And she's a fan favorite. But, yeah, I think in the pendulous bosom category, the game is still a little bit light, and that's why the Mai fans are up in arms and very upset. And you know, it was very hard for us all along to be like, sorry, she's not in the game. And then about a month and a half ago, one day on the King of Fighters 15th anniversary page, what does SNK put up there? But a new piece of Mai art along with a new piece of K-Dash art.
It's like, thanks, like, you're not helping at all.
This isn't helping.
Yeah,
like, you're just taunting them and teasing them with this art of Mai.
Well, I mean, you know, speaking of taunts, you know, I've read actually on I think Giant Bomb. They've reported that you guys had mentioned that there were actually going to be 26 characters. Like, this was posted
was
some
miscommunication.
Really?
Because I'd always heard 22. Like, I don't know where that, I think that number came from a forum, from something translated from Japanese that ended up not being right. You know, here's,
well, it's hard to mistranslate numbers, I guess, but
you would think. But yeah, I can confirm that. As far as I know, King of Fighters 12, Mai will not be playable ever.
As far as I know,
she will never be playable in King of Fighters 12.
Okay. I have a question regarding a giant bomb. We can totally keep this out of the show if you want. But
I love the giant bomb, guys.
They're awesome.
My buddy Brad, it was his birthday. Happy birthday, Brad.
Was his birthday when you went down? Oh,
he's 30 now, right?
He's 30, that's right. When you were playing Jeff Gerstmann, were you letting him win those rounds? Or?
You know, okay, that was back in E3, and it's funny because most journalists, I would say like 75% of journalists, have no King of Fighters skills.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they have some Street Fighter skills, but they don't really have King of Fighters skills.
Sure.
And so I just assumed he didn't. And I was, you know, I was playing him, and then all of a sudden he's like doing real moves and doing combos. Like, what? And I was totally unprepared for him to know what he was doing.
He was ranked last night.
I was in quite a state, and I was so shocked that he was good. But by the time I like realized that I need to actually be fighting hard, I think he'd already beaten me. I was quite offended.
You weren't making any curry bets with him, though, or anything, were you?
This reminds me that I need to challenge him again. We need a rematch.
Hell yeah.
I need to fight Gerstmann.
Let's set that shit up.
Because I've been training. My Ash Crimson is ready for whatever.
Nice.
All right, cool. Let's move on. That last question, my question was from everybody, but the question about, I didn't mention his name, about the different online features, that was from Repeat. Now we're back to Arkham's questions, and he says, besides the two console exclusive characters, is there any other console exclusive that you can share with us at this time? Now we've gone over the differences in the online implementation. Is there
the
anything
online
else?
Implementation,
I keep hearing stuff about hidden characters. Are Mature and Elizabeth, like, are they locked or what?
They're unlocked from the get-go. So
they're unlocked. Okay.
They're totally available from the get-go. There's an art gallery. You can unlock, a bunch of concept art. In terms of other things, they're completely original to the home version. Yeah, really the two new characters and, you know, the suite of online play is really, that is the lion's share of the original home content, I will say.
Okay.
I can't think of anything else.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah.
He also wonders what your what matchup you would like to see between a Street Fighter 4 and a King of Fighters 12 character.
What?
Oh. Hmm. I think Mature versus Crimson Viper is an obvious.
Well,
an obvious
is that even fair?
Pantsuit battle.
Yeah, that's true.
who has the sexier pantsuit? You know, Dan versus Ryo.
There you go.
Dan versus Ryo is pretty classic. Maybe Sakura versus Athena. I don't know. These are like fair fights.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Ash versus Guile. My money's on Ash.
Yeah.
Zangief versus Raiden. There's some good matchups there. Kill versus Ryu. Yeah, there's a bunch.
Yeah, cool. All right. This is from Nogric. And he asks, why isn't the game a true sequel and reverts to characters to past incarnations? And he basically asks this because he really likes the story of King of Fighters and how you guys put it together. So he's wondering if, you know, why this game kind of feels like it's filler.
Well, it definitely is not a story sequel, even though a few of the characters like Iori and Mature do have a little bit of story involved with them. But overall, it's viewed as a dream match, and much like King of Fighters 98, in that there are no preset teams, there's no preset story.
Right.
So they kind of paused the Ash Crimson saga that was going on. You know, it's two games in. And they fully intend to continue that story. So,
okay, cool. At some point.
This is kind of seen as like, not a stopgap, but you know, like a reboot, a refresh. They really just wanted to focus on the graphics and the gameplay and not get so mired down in the story. And I think they figured they were changing everything so much from the other perspective that asking people to like stomach a huge, crazy narrative that I think the end of the Ash Crimson saga might get a little crazy in terms of story and new characters and stuff. So I think that's not what they wanted for this game. They really felt they had to kind of reboot the franchise and that's a very purposeful return to the traditional King of Fighters 94 and 95 stuff.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
I do miss the team system. I'll say that. The team layout and everything. I do, actually.
You miss having preset teams?
Yeah, I do.
You do prefer preset teams. I like making my own team, actually.
Well, I think it kind of came down to that every once in a while, but it was nice to have like an identifiable team, and you know, they each kind of had their own storyline, you know. In some aspects.
Well, a lot of people want the American sports team to come back.
I am not one of those people.
You're not those people.
No.
Yeah. All right, cool. So Tears of Ash asks, will there be any PlayStation Home support?
You know, I really wanted there to be. That was one of the things
really?
I wanted.
Really? And, for real?
I think Home has a lot of untapped potential.
Oh, it's true. True.
People just starting to think about how to use it in new ways. You know, in the very least, getting outfits would have been cool, because I know the Street Fighter outfits have done really, really well, and you see tons of people dressed up like Ken whenever you go out.
Isn't that crazy, though? They look awful.
They look awful.
They look terrible. I wouldn't want to wear that. Anyway.
Yeah, all right. The best. But as it turns out, like, a home initiative takes a long time. Like, it's not something you can put together in, like, a month. It's like, you know, like 6 months, 12 months. So there was not time. But if there's more King of Fighters to come, I would love to try to get Ash Crimson's outfit available for purchase. Or, like, there's cool things. Like, the Namco Museum just came out for Home, and I saw that in that game, if you unlock stuff, you get home trophies, you can actually put, like, the art minutes in your apartment and play them from your apartment.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I think that kind of more future looking stuff to Home is what I'm into, but Home takes a long time. That's
being said, which is kind of a tangent, because just when Sony's touted Home as the whole like lobby and kind of place to meet your friends and launch into games, is it not that easy for you guys to integrate that part of Home into the game? Is it?
Yeah, actually, Home launching is one of the hardest things. Like, very few games do that still. I mean, like Warhawk does it.
It's really
But yeah, that's one of the hardest things to do at Home, and I think that's one of the most exciting things. And like in the future, imagine if there was like an SNK arcade. You go in and there's all these machines, people waiting, quartering up. You could launch games, meet your clan, have bulletin boards. I think a lot of us fighting game fans can think of good uses for Home with fighting games. And
do you want to go play Metal Slug or bowling?
Wait in line for bowling, which is just ridiculous.
Cool.
Very cool.
All right, Mike O'Hara asks if there's any DLC being looked at for King of Fighters. And you kind of touched on this a little bit, but anything else you can add?
I know there is definitely a first wave of DLC hitting a few, within a few weeks, month of release. None of that first wave is characters. Everyone's my characters.
It's colors.
some things that you haven't maybe seen DLC for fighting games before.
Oh, really?
But we can't announce it quite yet. There's going to be stuff.
We can promise to not announce it until like a week from now. We could be lying, but
But, I don't want to make people think that SNK isn't listening to their cries for Mai, so keep yelling about the characters you want. And, like, you know, I keep telling them, hey, everyone wants these characters, but I tell them that I want Yamazaki. That's what I want. I was like, Mai can come later. Yamazaki first.
Yeah, I don't really give a shit about
priorities.
I don't care.
There's only one reason that anybody wants Mai in the game.
I know. And, I don't like Mai.
And we're more about the actual game, less than the, you know, the boobies.
Is there a Caleb girl you'd rather have come back?
Actually, the ones that I like are already in the game. Because I'm a Leona fan personally, so
she's back. She's better than ever.
Some of her moves look friggin' awesome. So.
I get fucking Raiden with mask.
That's right. You do have Raiden.
Really?
Oh, huge. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm beginning the whole luchador thing.
He loves the grapplers too.
He uses Kirte in Street Fighter 4. I mean, come on. Yeah.
True.
Cool. All right. So John Muncher says, how many new fans do you think you'll get with this game?
Man, that's a tough question. I hope it's a ton. I mean, I think who we're really going after are the guys who used to be fans, and because of the way the fighting genre went, the way, you know, things have been, it's been a few years, and we want to get all those guys back, everyone who used to love this franchise. But because it is more accessible and easier to play, and I think Street Fighter has spurned like a whole new generation of people who didn't really grow up with these games, who are learning what's great about playing competitive fighting games. You know, if we can get a chunk of those guys, I'll be really happy. And just, you know, happy for the genre. Because, yeah, as a big fighting game fan myself, it was always hard fighting against the stigma that it has.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sure.
If any one person who likes a shooter, for example, if you like what's great about a competitive first-person shooter, if you sat down with somebody who knows how to play a fighting game and the two of you just spend like 2 hours playing, I guarantee you'll see what's so great about the genre. And when, you know, I think there's nothing else out there that, you know, makes you feel like you're in complete control of this huge arsenal of moves and you're reacting in real time, especially, and I think a 2D fighter does it better than a 3D. Because the limitations is placed on a 2D fighter, you know, it kind of forces you to think really strategically and like, you know, what's at my disposal? What can I do if he does this? And yeah, man, back in college, I could just play these games for 10 hours at a time, you know, and then never gets old.
No, it's funny to say, because we have actually like kind of like, I guess, a side project kind of thing with a fellow podcast of ours, Gamers Only Older, scrubsport.com. And we started talking about Street Fighter 4 a lot, and we started to throw up a league, and we had a decent amount of people sign up for it. And then just from us talking about Blaze Blue, we had even more people actually interested in Blaze Blue, which is really surprising, because we thought, honestly, Blaze Blue would be kind of like a
filler,
just like a little
King of Fighters
filler kind of thing.
It's a brand new IP, you know, like no one
exactly
knows what Blaze Blue is.
Right.
Yeah, no one had any idea. And then we had a bigger sign up for Blaze Blue than Street Fighter 4. Yeah. And the thing is, I don't look at Blaze Blue as being that accessible to a new fighting fan at all, especially if you've been playing Street Fighter. So that being said, if you were to take Street Fighter 4 and Blaze Blue, where would you fit in King of Fighters 12 in terms of accessibility to a new fan of fighting games? Yeah,
I think it is actually more accessible than Blaze Blue, and it's not something bad against Blaze Blue, and I like Blaze Blue, but I think because the similar, you know, it's more similar to Street Fighter, and the basics, you know, like everybody has these basic moves that you can do, like the rolls, the dashes, the reversals. There's kind of a universality to it where, you know, as you go from character to character on Blaze Blue, they play very differently. And you feel like there's a lot to learn. Whereas I think
it feels like a different fighting game for every character, basically.
Right. And it's kind of cool in one way, but in another way, I think it's very daunting for newbies. And I think in King of the Fighters, if you mess around with the roster, and of course you're forced to pick three characters.
Right.
So it kind of forces you to learn the variety and learn what's good about other characters.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
Yeah. I think it falls between.
Okay.
Cool. Overall. That'd be nice.
That's kind of the thought that we had too. So
yeah,
that's,
exactly.
That's a general consensus of most people that have played all three, so, or have played a version of King of Fighters, I should say.
Right.
Cool. All right. So next question comes from Jack Bauer, and he says, as someone who plays
Jack Bauer,
he's emailing in about King of Fighters.
Right.
Make sure he's not funny.
Yelling. Yeah.
He's using a bomb and sending
it. That's right. He's actually one of our biggest listeners. He's a really cool guy, but, he has to say, as someone who has played Tekken for many years and has only recently been introduced from Street Fighter, what can you tell me? Can you tell me what's different about the King of Fighters series?
I'd say, yeah, your Tekken skills don't carry over, you know,
I would agree with that.
Yeah, Tekken's fully 3D. It's about dialed in combos. You know, I like Tekken. But yeah, I think this is a, you know, much different beast than that. It's, you know, it's a little more strategic. You know, the pace is not as frantic. Much more defensive. You know, Tekken's a very offensive game. But, and then art too. Like, especially if you're weaned on 3D games, like to see, you know, like the 2D artistry, the 2D backgrounds. We haven't really touched on the backgrounds, but the backgrounds are nuts. They're totally crazy. There's so much going on. It's almost like a visual overload just because the pure animation. But yeah, I'd say, you know, expect something more along the lines of Street Fighter, but, you know, possibly a little deeper and, you know, more nuanced and more going on kind of under the surface. But Ultimately, for most King of Fighters fans, it kind of comes down to the characters and finding the characters that you love. And I think that's one of SNK's strengths, are making really unique, interesting, kind of crazy characters that are stylish and bizarre. And like Ash Crimson, you see him, you're going to have a reaction to him. Either you're going to hate him or you're going to love him. But,
yeah.
You know, you're going to have a reaction.
Yeah, and your first reaction is going to probably be, hey, she looks cute. And then you're going to realize, oh, wait, it's a guy.
I think that's one of the strengths of Tekken 2, is having kind of wild characters. You know, like you see Kakuma, or you see Mokujin, or you know, like these crazy characters. You're like, what is that? And I'm like, what's it doing here? And I think King of Fighters kind of, on the same way, where Street Fighter, you know, traditionally plays a little safer with its characters outside of like Blanca or someone.
Rufus.
Well, Rufus, that's another.
Yeah, that's an entirely different conversation.
Rufus.
All right, so we're going to change directions a little bit here. This is from Bloodstained Vendetta. We call him BSV. And he says, how different is seeing a game you're working on and trying to baby, and then being on the other side of and reviewing games? I was wondering if being put through the development process makes you respect games more, and as you don't have to play all the new games for your job. He says he also thinks reviewers are fairly too cynical.
Wow, yeah, that's a big question. It's something I've definitely been thinking about and dealing with ever since I left the world of editorial. And, you know, because I reviewed games for 10 years, you know, I know how people review games. And as I read the reviews for this game, I can usually tell, like, you know, what their perspective was on the genre, on the franchise, how much they played, what the kind of stuff they played. But ultimately, you know, we can't control a review. And when I was reviewing games, you know, I always play these games a ton, and for a game with an ending, you always see the ending. But with fighting games, it's different because your mileage will vary, like who you play against, what your experience was like, how many rounds you played, and it's tough. With fighting games, I think any review cycle is hard. So with King of Fighters, you know, we put it out there. If the fans like it, that's what ultimately matters to us. Is whether or not a critic, you know, a random critic who you don't know, maybe hates fighting games, has to review this game. But I think, on the publisher side, a game like King of Fighters, you know, it was already in process. The game was almost finished by the time I got here. But moving forward with games that are way out that I'm getting to see at a really, really early time, that's exciting to me because that didn't happen on the editorial side as much. And, you know, being able to have an influence, you know, and actually say like, hey, this would be better if you guys did this or maybe try this. I think that's exciting for me. And, you know, say there's another SNK fighting game coming next year. Like, as you said, like if I could say, hey, you know, maybe the online menu should look like this and offer this functionality, that would make me super stoked because that's what I really wanted to do. You know, reviewing games, being a critic of games, that's awesome and I love doing it. But if I can actually help make the games better, that's it. That's the ultimate goal.
Cool. All right. That sounds good to me. All right. This is going to be one of our last questions, but this is from Potete, and he says...
it's not Tete.
I said Potete.
Okay.
He likes to give us hell about his name because we mess with him every once in a while. But he says, give me one of the biggest reasons for me to drop Street Fighter IV, a game that I have put almost 300 hours into, and play this.
This is it, Shane. This is your time to
sell
shine.
The game.
Sell the game to us.
Has he seen the stage set in France?
Ah, all the fat chicks and...
Yes. Yeah. Until you've had a tense, like, double KO in front of a bunch of, like, horribly obese French women, like, stuffing crates down their throat. But it all looks so beautiful and bizarre. Like
look at those beautiful fat women.
Yeah, like, the amount of, like, pure artistry and, like, kind of insanity that is at play when King of Fighters 12 all clicks, it's nothing else like it. And, yeah, it kind of... it's pretty addictive, I gotta say. It's the art, it's the gameplay, it's the characters, it's the music. You know, it's a distinctly SNK experience, and it's exciting for me to finally see them kind of back up on the horse. You know, like, I feel like King of Fighters had been, you know, had been waning in the last, you know, 7-8 years, and to see them kind of all connecting and feel exciting and new and fresh and fun and addictive, yeah. I don't know, you kind of got to try it, but a big part of it is the artistry. And I think Street Fighter 4, King of Fighters 12 look very differently, and they kind of show you know, like, yeah, the other path had, because, you know, Street Fighter 4 still has 2D gameplay, and it could have looked like this game. Like,
I wish it did.
Had Capcom decided, you know, we're going to spend time drawing these sprites and all the everything that entails. You know, yeah, but instead they went with a 3D look, and I think the brushstroke thing was cool. Yeah. But personally, like, you know, if you look at the pure workmanship of 2D versus 3D, I gotta give it up for 2D. So,
oh yeah, there's so much more art and love and work that goes into 2D.
There's like a human touch to it, you know. Yeah. Like, yeah, people toiled over this. Like, everything you're seeing was drawn. Like, I was watching some old anime. Like, I was watching Bubblegum Crisis like last week.
Oh my fucking god, and I love that.
You know, every cell was drawn by a person, and like, you can tell. You're like, wow, this was drawn by people. Whereas like, all anime now is digital, done by robots or whatever. And, like, you know, there's like a kind of a colder feel to it, and it's true of games too. And so, like, yeah, kind of the human element, and, you know, same thing we were talking about for Wii. We have this game Muramasa coming out, and it's all hand drawn 2D. It's on Wii. Same thing. It's like, you know, like, wow, somebody drew all this stuff. And, you know, if you're an art appreciator, and like, if you're an artist yourself, if you've ever drawn a character on a piece of paper, you know what it's like, how much work goes into like making that thing move.
Can I say that Bubblegum Crisis still holds up?
First episode totally holds up.
Oh my god.
It starts to lose the plot later on. But,
I mean, it's all Blade Runner and shit, but, you know, whatever.
I could sing a little Korewa Hurricane right now if I wasn't so sober. But,
you mean you're not drinking with the rest of us?
I wish I were. It's a cocktail hour up at you, but not out here.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Good point. Well, okay. I'm only going to ask this question because you've already mentioned it. I'm going to ask you a Muramasa question. Is that right?
Go for it, man.
All right, cool. So, Diehard Gamer sent in a question about that too, and he's wondering why they decided to keep the original Japanese voices instead of having both an English track and a Japanese track.
Yeah, that's been a little bit of a controversial thing, because people are like, oh, you know, you guys are just taking the easy way out here. You know, we did consider doing a full dub on it. It would have pushed the game back a little bit, which we didn't want to do, because it's so exciting, and there's hardly anything like this out for Wii. I think hardcore gamers, enthusiast gamers, really want, like, a deep action experience.
Definitely.
That you can sink your teeth into, and not just some little minigame thing. And the game is so Japanese. Like, I knew it was Japanese before I started playing it, but now I'm playing through it. I mean, it's like a cultural, like, treasure trove, like, about Japanese history, mythology, you know, like, it's all set in real places in Japan, all about Japanese people, all the names are Japanese, so, you know, we felt like, why not, you know, continue celebrating Japan, subtitle this game, and it isn't like there's tons and tons and tons of dialogue, and it's not like it's a real RPG where you're reading pages and pages of text, an action-adventure RPG. It has about as much dialogue as, like, you know, Super Metroid or Castlevania Symphony of the Night. It's, you know, just kind of there as the window dressing to
you through
this awesome action-adventure game. So, you know, if you're horribly offended by having to read a few subtitles, we're sorry. But, you know, you get in the game sooner, and, you know, when I watch anime, for example, especially something about, like, samurai in Japan, I kind of want the original Japanese voice.
A lot of people are that way.
And they got really well-known Japanese voice actors who are quite good, and, hopefully it's not a deal-breaker for a lot of people, but it's a decision we decided to make, and, you know, I don't think people should be afraid that we're not going to dub other games, because I think, you know, games where the dialogue is a crucial part, we'll definitely do an English dub on those games, but, yeah, for this specific game, we felt that was the best choice.
Well, I think a lot of people that are into the anime scene will appreciate the authenticity of that subtitling anyway, so,
right.
You know, and it sounds like the Muramasa is the kind of game that those are the people that you're trying to get to in the first place, so.
Right. So, yeah, Shane, I got to ask, how integral were you in bringing this game over to Ignition? Because there was, you know, talk about it at E3 or whatever, and there wasn't a publisher or some shit, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, being picked up by Ignition. Yeah, did you fall in love with the game and bring it over?
Well, yeah, I first saw the game last year at Tokyo Game Show, and okay. I did fall in love with it because it's, you know, it reminds me of games I really like in the past, like, as I said, Metroid, Castlevania, but also like Ninja Spirit, Legend of Kage, like those kinds of games. And, you know, the developer of Vanillaware, their previous games, Odin Sphere and Grim Grimoire, are both totally awesome and unique and weird. And, you know, as soon as I got here, I knew that was a game that I would love to publish, but I wasn't alone. Like, people really, high up at our company, way beyond me, had already looked at it, wanted it, really wanted this game. So when it became feasible and available, you know, we jumped at it, and I couldn't be happier, because that's a game that, you know, if I didn't work here, I'd still be running out and pre-ordering it, because it's the kind of game that makes me dust off my Wii, quite literally. You know,
we understand that totally.
And yeah, the more I play it, it slip back into this like wormhole to like 1997, some alternate future where like Saturn had actually like. Yeah, that was the future, where high-res 2D platforming and adventure games were the future instead of 3D.
I love you, Sega.
Yeah, there's all these awesome visual effects you haven't seen in forever. Like these updated versions of Mode 7 Super Nintendo things. Like warping backgrounds and crazy parallax scrolling. You know, going nuts, because the Wii can really do that pretty well.
I hope so.
So to be playing a game on Wii that you think, like, wow, that looks beautiful, and other people are like, wow, that looks beautiful. How often do people say that about Wii graphics? You know, like,
yeah,
you
that's true. That's true.
Like, that's on Wii, that's too bad. But no, like, by making it 2D with like really tasteful bits of 3D, like, I think that it's what works well on Wii, actually.
No denying it. It's gorgeous. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, well, do you guys have any other King of Fighters questions?
Kind of, sort of.
Okay.
Go for it. A little bit. So you guys have been doing an awesome job as far as, like, you know, web promotions, you know, both through, like, Twitter and Facebook and everything. I mean, so that's great. But I think in order to give this game legs, you know, there's got to be some sort of competitive contingency, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you got to have those, you know, the SRK kiddies in check. And I don't want to say there's a lot of hate about the game. I think there's a lot of just kind of misunderstanding about the game. But, I mean, what do you guys have any plans to, you know, like, you know, show up at Evo or anything like that, or, you know, run any of your major, you know, tournaments or something like that?
We are in talks to potentially organize some, you know, organized prized tournaments online. We don't have full details yet. It's still kind of up in the air, but we it's a way to keep, you know, the community excited about the game post-release. I think a lot of it's going to see, you know, you gotta wait and see what, you know, comes out this, you know, next week, and see what the initial response is. But we have opportunities. I know Microsoft can help us to, for example, do like a play against the developers. You know, they can organize like special tournaments like that. You know, whether or not we're gonna be able to organize full tournaments for different, you know, forums and stuff, I don't know. But we would like to be able to sponsor PSN and 360 some official tournament play.
That's a good start. But I mean, you know, if you do have a solid, you know, healthy competitive gaming scene, you know, I think it will carry, you know, for years to come. So
for sure.
Just keep that in mind. I'm just putting that out there.
Good advice.
Well, we're gonna have a Scrubsport League for it.
So. Yeah, definitely.
That's right. That's true. Sign up start in like 2 weeks. Or
yeah,
something.
That's right.
I'm afraid that I'm gonna go on and get my ass kicked. I really gotta practice. I gotta get my joystick out.
Then Shane, you probably should sign up
for a reason. So
yeah. Exactly. I've already lost a lot of money here at our office with a guy Robert. He's better than me. And I always bet money. I have a problem.
I've heard of the epic bets you've made.
Exactly. My former boss, Dan Shu, he won several $1,000 from me. All told.
Didn't I almost reach $1 million once or something? I was like,
well, with another guy at 1UP, Jason, I owed him like $several billion. And then we fought double or nothing, and I won. And I was like,
nice.
I just won like $25 billion. Yeah.
How's that paying out for you?
I like this guy.
Oh, shit. That's awesome. All right. Jason, what else you got? Anything else?
That's pretty much about it.
All right. Yeah, you just wanted to know about the competitive scene.
For real. Yeah. Because that's what I'm really into.
And maybe, you know, in the future, guys can even help us, give us a little advice on what people want for that.
Absolutely. Oh,
sure.
I mean, because, yeah, like I said, that's really what's going to carry it. That's why we still see games like, you know, Super Smash Brothers and, you know, some of the older titles being, showcased at major tournaments and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that'll carry you through.
But. Cool. Jeff, do you have any other questions?
No, I'm good, dude.
All right. Well, I have one more super important question to ask Mr. Shane Bettenhausen.
This is a very important question.
So now I'm scared.
No.
This is a boxes or briefs question. I'm signing off.
This is way
for real.
Shane, I got to ask you.
Yes.
What are you doing October 23rd and 24th?
Ooh, that's a good question. Wait, I have another question after
October
that.
October 23rd and 24th. This is a trick question. Should
no.
I,
just it's say not a trick
say
question. Yes.
Just say that this you're free and you're...
Like, I'm going to the amazing...
Indus Fest.
That is happening. Oh, you guys are doing a festival?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're actually... no joke either. I mean, it would be cool to have some... we're trying to get everyone we can out there, but... our 100th episode is coming up on that weekend in October, and we rented out a little place called Battle and Brew. It's a gaming pub.
Oh my God.
And, we're going to have like all kinds of fighting games hooked up. We're going to do a live show from the bar. We're going to stream it online. We're going to have all the fighting games hooked up in the background and stuff like that. Nice. It's going to be good stuff, man.
So for free.
A festival celebration tournament.
Exactly.
It's basically just another reason for us to party, but exactly. At least we'll be partying with people that are friends.
Party? Am I supposed to like bring a sleeping bag? You just stay with 2 days.
You can bring some nail polish. I'll paint your toes. I don't give a shit.
Is this happening in Hotlanta or in Toronto?
It's in Hotlanta. Hotlanta,
yeah. For,
no whiskey
for Toronto,
unfortunately.
But I do like Hotlanta.
That's what I tried to tell the man, but they wouldn't bite.
No, you know, I would say distinct possibility, especially since, you know, I could go visit my family in Kentucky. Hey, I could do a twofer. So,
hey, there you go, man.
Shane will put you up.
Keep me posted. I'll give you a tentative maybe/yes.
Sweet. All right. Good deal, man.
Raise my glass to you. So actually, not, so Chris's question was important, yes. But okay, I do have one more email here.
Oh wow! Uh-huh.
All right, this one is from I'm not sure. I'll read it at the end. Dear Shane, my boyfriend is kind of a douche. If things don't work out with him, would you like
you
to go out?
Because
you seem pretty cool and undouchey. Love, Tanya. Tanya's friggin' hot.
She is hot, dude.
She is.
Tanya Harding? Tanya?
No.
She's from Toronto, actually.
Right. And she's actually, she's dating Jeff.
You didn't really get an email like that, did you?
I'm looking at it right now. For real.
That's much
Tanya.
Wow.
We need to talk.
Tanya.
Usually, when people just randomly come up to me in the past, like at Penny Arcade Expo last year, they were people who said, "I hate you.
What?
You're an asshole. I want to kill you." So a lot of that. Not a lot of like, "Will you go out with me?" That's,
really?
I think this is actually the first.
This is the first.
It wasn't from somebody in a mental institution.
Tanya is absolutely sane. I mean, you know, all things. Well, she's
all
dating Jeff.
She's dating Jeff.
You know, hey, Tanya, you want to say hi to Shane?
Can we get Tanya on?
What?
She does have a crush on you.
May as well try. Really we does. Can always cut this out, but come say hi to
Shane. No, we're not cutting anything out.
Right. Well, I wouldn't want to ruin what you guys have. Sounds like it's pretty magical.
I mean, yeah, they just moved in together, whatever. They have a cat.
Who
gives a shit?
I have a cat. Hello.
What's up, T?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great.
No, they made me write this.
Nobody made you write anything. Just
wow. Close. Well, I'm flattered, and I also have a cat, and I love Toronto.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, oh, my God.
I'll meet you at the Firkin.
And then we can kick Jeff out.
Exactly.
So, wait, what's your sign, Shane?
I'm a Sagittarius.
Hey?
Nice.
You guys get along, right?
Okay, I'm embarrassed now.
Okay.
Wow. Thanks, anyway. Wow. I'm impressed. I'm flattered and impressed.
T really
Toronto,
is.
Come down to Toronto, take your whiskey a go-go. Now I'm thinking, yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know how
Tanya would
feel about that.
She is hot to the bone. She
probably
really
to go.
I'm thinking that Shane's like, I can't believe I signed up for this shit.
Sorry, buddy.
If I come to Toronto, we'll have to go to Tim Hortons for coffee.
Ooh. Oh, dude, like that's like any 2 seconds away. There's like,
all right.
Like, oh, it's ridiculous.
It's good coffee.
Seriously, if you're in Toronto, dude, whiskey a go go. Give me a line. Drop me a line, and it's good.
Yeah. All right.
Seriously.
Cool stuff. Well, hey, Shane, why don't you go ahead and pimp your stuff again?
Yeah, so thanks for having me on the show, guys. This has been Shane Bettenhausen from Ignition Entertainment. When we got King of Fighters 12 coming out on PS3 and 360, should be in all stores by the 28th of July. And then coming out in September for Nintendo Wii, we got Muramasa, the Demon Blade by VanillaWare. It's totally awesome. That's coming out the first week of September, September 8th. And then later that month, we have a RPG coming out for the DS called Nostalgia. It's by Tecmo and Red and Matrix, and it's also awesome. So, yeah, those are our next three games. And keep your eyes peeled for other huge announcements coming from us in the coming weeks and months.
Awesome. Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah, you guys have to come back. I like this. It's casual. It's chill. Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, dude. This is the way we are. This is the way we are.
But people being all prim and proper.
Screw that. We've never been that.
Yeah. Wait until we edit it all out to make you sound like a big douche. Like, what the fuck?
You'll have you. That'd be great.
No, seriously, Shane, thank you so much. You've been great. Yeah, appreciate awesome. You coming on the show. It's been a very informative interview, and I know that I'm speaking for all three of us when I say that all three of us are super, super excited for King of Fighters.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
Thanks definitely. For the support. And, yeah, keep fighting games alive, man. I love it.
We're scratchboard.com.
We are trying.
Sweet.
But you guys are making it easy for us, so.
That's right.
Yeah, awesome. No thanking us.
Good deal. Well, thank you, sir, very much, and we'll talk to you next time.
It's been a pleasure.
So that about wraps things up with Shane. Great interview. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Can't wait to have you back on in the future. Now, remember, you can find our normal show every Monday at interactivedistractions.com, or you can check us out on our forums at vgevo.com. On behalf of Chris, Jeff, and myself, thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll talk to you later.